Morning, everyone. Welcome to worship here at Glenshaw Valley. So happy that you decided to join us today. I have a couple announcements that are not in the bulletin, so please bear with me as I make them. If you are on the finance committee, we are having a finance meeting on Tuesday, September 10th, so this Tuesday, at 7 o'clock in my office. So if you are on that committee and are available to attend, please plan to. The second announcement is that Session would like to call a congregational meeting on September 15th, immediately following worship, for the purpose of approving a nominating committee. I apologize, that's not in the bulletin, and I know that it's 2 weeks from today. We desperately, desperately, desperately need one person from the congregation to serve on this committee, and we need that person to let us know as soon as possible. According to our bylaws, we have to have two session members, we need to have a deacon, and we need to have two people from the congregation serve on this committee. This is a relatively low time commitment. It's only going to be one or two meetings. You just need to be available to make some phone calls and send some emails. Serving on the nominating committee does not mean that you are locked in to serve on a board next year. You are just going to help be part of the team that discerns who is serving on that board. So if you are willing and able, please, please, please come see me, come see Nancy, come see BJ after our worship service today. I think, one final announcement. September 29th, so the last Sunday in September, we are going to be having a church picnic, the Autumn in the Valley. So if you are planning to come, great, yay, we're so excited you can come. There are some sign-up sheets in the back if you are able and willing to help us out with it. We need some food and we need people to make some donations for the Chinese auction. I think those are all of the announcements. Am I forgetting anything? All right. Let us begin with our call to worship. We've come to worship God, who loved us before we were born, who knows us better than we know ourselves, whose presence never leaves us, and whose love for us never ceases. This is our God. Let's worship together. At this time, I invite you to rise and join with me for our opening hymn, number 401, Here in This Place.
Here in this place, Lord, your glory is streaming.
me now for our prayer of confession. Holy and merciful God, in your presence we confess our failure to be what you created us to be. You alone know how often we have sinned in wandering from your ways, in wasting your gifts, in forgetting your love. By your loving mercy, help us to live in your light and abide in your ways, for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Join with me now for our words of assurance. Hear the good news. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we might be dead to sin and alive to all that is good. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Alleluia. Amen. Respond to the word proclaimed by saying aloud together the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Friends, let us greet one another in faith.
We will be your witnesses to all morning.
Good morning.
Okay, so we have a couple prayer requests today. One is from the Canes. The prayer is actually for Mabe Sasso. Mabe has been in the hospital due to serious problems caused by medication. She was released yesterday and is doing better, but later in the month she has an appointment with the Cleveland Clinic to schedule heart valve surgery. She says she needs all the prayers she can get. And the Canes are also asking for prayers for safe travel as they make trips to Ohio this week to visit family and friends. And we have a prayer request for Tom, who's the mayor of Aetna, and John. They're friends of Kathy Sagies from her apartment building. Both are battling, both are battling cancer and health declining quickly. Thank you.
Just one additional prayer request to add to the list. Nancy's father was diagnosed with cancer this past week, so please pray for him and pray for the family and his doctors as they sort out what the next treatments are. Remind me your dad's name.
David
Aaron. David. All right. At this time, I invite you to rise and join with me for our hymn of meditation. Today we are called to be disciples, number 757. be seated. Let us pray. Oh God, we come before you today, concerned but also glad of the cost of discipleship that you have placed upon all of our hearts. In response to that call, O God, we lift before you both our joys and our concerns. Lord, we pray that you attend to the sick and bring them healing. Today, Lord, we pray for David, for Mabe, for Tom, and for John. Lord, we also ask you to strengthen those who face particular challenges. Lord, we pray that you would be with the Canes this week as they travel to Ohio. Lord, we pray for our world. We pray that your kingdom would come and your will be done. Lord, we pray for all of the people affected by Hurricane Dorian, particularly those who live in the Carolinas and Florida. We pray that you would help them rebuild and anything that was damaged during the storm. And we pray that you would restore electricity and water and food quickly. Finally, Lord, we lift our joys to you with gratitude. Lord, we thank you for this transition in the seasons as we head into fall and into our fall programming. Lord, we pray that you would be with us as a church as we enter into this season of discernment, as we, along with you, figure out who you are calling to serve the church in the next year. In silence now, we lift our personal prayers to God. Lord God of the nations, you have revealed your will to all people and promised us your saving help. May we hear and do what you command, that the darkness may be overcome by the power of your light. This we ask through Christ our Savior, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, let us continue to worship God by presenting our offering. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Morning. My apologies, the first time I ever asked to be a reader, and I'm probably the sickest I've been in a long time. I'm going to read Luke 14, 25 to 33. Now large crowds were traveling with him, and he turned and said to them, Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not first sit down and estimate the cost to see whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and it is not able to finish, all who see it will begin to ridicule him, saying, "This fellow began to build and was not able to finish." Or what king, going out to wage war against another king, will not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to oppose the one who comes against him with 20,000? If he cannot, then, while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for the terms of peace. So therefore, none of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all your possessions.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So I'm kind of dreading October a little bit. Don't get me wrong, I love pumpkin spice coffee, cooler temperatures, and Halloween is one of my favorite holidays. But October is also pull-up month at my gym, and I can do exactly zero pull-ups. See, my problem is that I am terrified of heights. So the thought of climbing up the side of a pull-up rig, grabbing the 9-foot pull-up bar, somehow getting my foot in the band, pulling myself above the 9-foot bar, lowering myself, and then somehow getting out of the band without falling over. This is the thing that keeps giving me nightmares. Now, I know that this fear is irrational. Some, like my coach, would even say ridiculous. But I've come to realize that I need to face this fear if I want to get stronger as an athlete. So this month, when I met with my coach, I told him that by the end of September, I want to be able to do one banded pull-up. So I thought my homework this month was going to be practicing pull-ups. Oh no, my homework this month is to eat 3 meals a day to make sure that I'm getting around 8 hours of sleep a night. And if that wasn't embarrassing enough, to practice getting in and out of the pull-up band without doing a single pull-up. At CrossFit, we talk a lot about this idea of mastering the basics. And the most basic skill in fitness that one has to master is nutrition, followed by sleep. My nutrition habits are so poor that I have the privilege of spending an entire month tracking when I eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Before we even start talking about what kind of food I should be eating, or in what quantity or quality of food I should be eating, I need to get into the habit of regularly eating when I'm supposed to. In Christianity, the most basic component we have to master is discipleship. And by discipleship, I mean living our lives in the way of Jesus. Before we can start serving on leadership boards of the church, before we can teach others about Jesus, yes, before we can even start working for peace and justice in our neighborhoods, we need to master this basic component of living our lives in accordance with Jesus. In our scripture passage for this morning, Jesus teaches his disciples a lesson in discernment. How do we make choices in a way that brings glory and honor to God? Jesus says, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children,
brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. I always shudder a little bit when I read this passage. I think what Jesus is saying here is that life meets each and every one of us with choices that are emotionally costly. One cannot, for example, be having dinner with one's mother and be moderating a session meeting on the same Wednesday night. It's impossible for me both to be having Thanksgiving dinner with my family and also be participating in our Thanksgiving community dinner. There is a cost associated with whatever choice I make. I know this passage sounds harsh, but what I appreciate about Jesus is that he insists that discipleship actually goes a step further than just being a decent human being. You can be a decent human being and not be a disciple. It would be a decent thing, for example, to just come to church, but to never give of your time or your talents in service to something bigger than just you or your family. But following in the way of Jesus means offering yourself in a way that is sometimes uncomfortable or inconvenient. For a disciple living in the way of Jesus, this must take precedence over security, particularly when interests start to come in conflict with one another. Jesus ends this part of the gospel with this line: "Those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciple." I think it's fair to ask, Jesus, what are you really saying here? Am I to sell all of my possessions and to donate that to the church? Perhaps. But I think Jesus is actually interested in something larger than our possessions. Jesus is saying that the call of discipleship demands our full attention. And the call of discipleship is discerning what distracts us from living in the way of Jesus. And those distractions look a little bit different depending on who we're talking about. For some of us, we are going to have to get rid of our stuff because our stuff makes it impossible for us to follow Jesus. And when I say stuff, I could mean literally anything. It could be money, it could be an excessive video game collection, it could be having 7 pairs of the exact same pair of jeans in your closet. Not that I have any experience there. Others of us are going to need to get rid of this need to acquire stuff in the first place. Others of us are going to have to let go of jealousies, prejudices, and hatreds. I know you all are kind of sick of me talking about CrossFit, but I actually learned something about discipleship through CrossFit this week. I know this pull-up story is a little bit silly, but I learned that if I want to get better at pull-ups, I'm going to have to change behaviors that are deeply ingrained in who I am. It means learning to be disciplined about when I eat, when I go to bed. It means completing my homework every single day, even when I'm tired, even when it's hard, even when I look at the homework and I think there's no way I can physically do that. I've also had to give up this idea that my body just physically cannot do pull-ups. And I've had to return to these embarrassing basics that I thought I mastered a long time ago. But it is in these moments where this is really hard that I try to remind myself that the call for this is to be faithful, not perfect. While the call is to be faithful, It wouldn't be faithful to talk about call without talking about the cost associated with following it. Friends, all calling, whether it is the call to discipleship or the call to do push-ups, all call comes at a cost. There's just no getting around this. We choose one path at the expense of all other paths we could have chosen. When we talk about discipleship, we're saying that the cost of discipleship means entering into an intimate relationship with God in Christ, where we know that following Jesus isn't going to be always fun or easy or convenient. Living our life in the way of Jesus is going to set daughter against mother, husband against wife, children against their parents. So every time I read this passage when it comes up in the lectionary, I find myself asking, so why do this? Why live in the way of Jesus, even though it's going to be much harder than other paths? And this is the best answer I can come up with. In my own life, having experienced the love of Jesus, living my life in the way of Jesus is the most faithful thing I can do. What I mean by this is having received this tremendous blessing, this new life in Christ, I want to use this blessing to bless others. Even though some days this is difficult, it is challenging to follow the call of discipleship, to find time to pray, to read scripture, to be patient with that one person who has succeeded in pushing all of my buttons at the same time. Even though this call means that sometimes I'm going to be a lousy daughter, friend, athlete, sometimes even pastor. And I must be willing to endure these consequences if I ever hope to experience the promised reward that is life in Christ. My hope, friends, as you go from this place, is that you'll spend some time this week meditating on what both the call and cost of discipleship looks like for you. To get you started, I have some questions that you might meditate and pray about. So the first question is, who is God calling you to be? And you can simply make a list. So, for example, my list would be pastor, friend, daughter, athlete, and so on and so forth. So once you have your list of the things that God is calling you to, then I want you to think about how your priorities have to change so that you can live into your calling. So, for example, if I want to be a better athlete, I have to make sure that I eat 3 meals a day and that I get more sleep than I'm currently getting. The next question to think about is, once you've made your priorities, what do you need to let go of? Or what about your life needs to change so that your priorities can match your calling? So, for example, if I want to eat 3 meals a day and I am at work for one of those meals, that means I'm going to have to pack a lunch to make sure that I'm eating it. The final question, which is kind of the hardest that I want you to think about, is once you've identified behaviors that need to change, once you've identified your priorities, is how can you work so that your life is in alliance with what Jesus teaches, so that your life can bring glory and honor to God? I know these are a lot of questions, and I know that this is difficult, but I also want you to know that our God, who is perfect and also faithful, hears you when you pray and will honor your sacrifice. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, Amen. At this time, I invite you to rise and join with me for our closing hymn, number 296, Go in Grace and Make Disciples. As you go from this place, let me say a word of blessing. Remember, you go nowhere by accident. Wherever you go, God is sending you. Wherever you are, God has a purpose to you being there. Christ, who dwells in you, has something he wants to do through you, wherever you are. Believe this and go in his grace and love and power. Amen.
Amen.